The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
One Irish company based in Shannon found itself at the centre of one of the biggest aviation collapses since Pan Am and Eastern in 1991. Six West was tasked with locating and recovering almost 180 aircraft. Matthew G is Chief Operating Officer for Six West Aviation, and he's on the line now. Matthew, good morning.
Hi, Pat. Good morning.
It might be worth explaining the kind of hinterland of all of this, why Ireland is such a hub for this kind of activity.
Of course, yeah. So it historically goes back to the days of Guinness Pete Aviation, really one of the first leasing companies. And stemming from that, obviously Guinness Pete evolved into other companies. And then several other leasing companies, many other leasing companies now were formed. And hub key to the hub around that is maintenance activity, law firms, tax firms, and then companies like ourselves who are aircraft operators for the lessors, okay. The leasing companies.
Now, you might tell us how many aircraft globally, or what fraction of the global fleet, is actually leased out of Ireland?
It's approximately 50 to 60% these days.
50 to 60% of yes. Everything in the sky is leased out of Ireland. So
typically, yeah.
When you get an airline collapse, as we did with Spirit Airlines, there's no doubt Irish companies would definitely be involved.
Absolutely, yes, yes.
So what happens? What does your company do when something like this happens? I mean, were you awakened from your slumbers to get cracking, or what happens?
So we were alerted really to Spirit's difficulties in 2025. The airline had entered US Chapter 11 protection twice, and that obviously allowed them a period of to try and stabilize the company. Unfortunately, after the second Chapter 11, they weren't really able to fully recover the operation, and they had parked a number of their aircraft. They actually had a fleet high at one point of 214 aircraft, and late last year, earlier this year, they'd parked about 80-85 of those aircraft already in Arizona. So they were operating on a depleted fleet. Then unfortunately, fuel prices with events in Iran rose. Typically at the time, airlines were paying about $1,600 per ton for fuel. And that eventually culminated in the collapse. So at the company, we were obviously talking to a number of our customers, the aircraft leasing companies, who had alerted us to this difficulty and had us effectively on standby. And that standby slowly incremented, unfortunately, closer to the time where the airline collapsed in early May.
Now, the idea is that you would recover these aircraft, find them wherever they were, scattered across airports in the United States, and fly them to a safe haven where the lessors would have control of them.
That's correct. Yes, absolutely. So we effectively, as the company, we're the aircraft operator for the lessors. So we have all of the legal responsibilities and requirements to fulfill as any other aircraft operator would. It's just that we don't have a schedule, we don't have passengers, and we don't have cargo. It would be a very simplistic way of looking at it.
But these aircraft, which had the permission to fly under the license that Spirit had, your guys, you have to get a new license to fly a particular aircraft.
That's correct. So the Federal Aviation Administration, the regulator in the US, initially maintained Spirit's operating certificate for the weekend in early May that they collapsed. Very quickly after that, the aircraft were removed from that operating certificate, and what's called a designated airworthiness representative was tasked to go to each aircraft scattered across the US and issue a special ferry permit for the recovery of the aircraft back into Arizona.
Now, it can be a race against time, because there might be people owed money by a collapsing airline. It could be caterers, it could be suppliers of fuel or whatever, and they might want to put a lien on the aircraft to stop it being flown away out of their grasp until they got paid their bills.
Yes, that can happen. In the US, there was a bankruptcy protection put around Spirit, so that did give the lessor some isolation. Nevertheless, there was that risk. And where we've seen collapses before in numerous jurisdictions worldwide, that very much is the case where a local lien can be placed on the aircraft.
So for the lessors for whom you operate, they need to act quickly or get you to act quickly to get control of the aircraft and, as I say, bring it to a safe haven.
Yeah, as quick as possible. But obviously also falling within all of the regulatory and safety requirements.
Now, the problem with an aircraft, I would have thought you buy an aircraft and it comes complete with kit and caboodle. But I was reading that, you know, one lessor might own the engines, another might own the airframe, and another might own the landing gear. And maybe even the seats might be owned by a fourth. How common is that?
It's quite common. So when the aircraft delivers out of the factory, the lessor is typically purchasing the whole aircraft, engines, landing gear, seats, etc. However, with the aircraft in operation with an airline, particularly within a large airline, components go away for servicing. So an engine may go away for servicing and the airline will swap engines within their fleet and even within their spare engine pool as such. So at the time of a collapse of an airline, the title engines, the title landing gear, the title APU, the seats, etc., may not actually still be on board that installed on that very aeroplane. And so once the aircraft are recovered, the lessors then have to work together as a collective to effectively retitle their aircraft with the correct equipment.
So even though they might be at each other's throats to get business in a situation like this collapse, they have to cooperate with each other.
Totally, yeah. So they may be fierce competitors day to day, but on a technical point of view, the aviation industry is very, very small, and the lessors would very much in have a positive working relationship on that front.
How difficult has it been to track down the location of the aircraft?
It wasn't the most difficult we've ever worked on. The aircraft, however, were scattered, very much so. So our operation of recovery involved a number of airports across the US, really in most of the east, west and the central US.
Okay. How many have you got of the total that you went in search of?
All of them.
You've got all of them?
Yes.
Happy lessors, one suspects. Now,
yes.
you imagine you get this aircraft, you bring it to the Arizona desert, which is a safe haven, and you know, conditions are very dry, so the aircraft will not deteriorate fundamentally. However, to get it flying, it has to maintain all its maintenance schedules, I suppose. So what happens in Arizona?
So in Arizona, the aircraft are placed into storage. And what happens at that point then is several things. The lessors may choose to take the engines, release those engines to some of their other customers who may maybe needing spare engines to supplement the pool, etc. They may be able to take the aircraft as a complete unit, and then the goal will ultimately be to release that aircraft. And we're certainly seeing a number of that activity now, where aircraft are being flown out of Arizona to other jurisdictions. There's a number of aircraft came to Ireland, and they're now in what's called a transition. So the aircraft will be repainted, interior cabin will be refitted, etc., to the next lessee, the next airline taking the aircraft. Some of the aircraft in Arizona probably will be what's termed as parted out, so effectively chopped up, and the components on that aircraft, engines, landing gear, and all sorts of components will enter the spare parts chain effectively. Left of the aircraft is very, very little once everything has entered the chain.
And every single spare part like that, the second-hand part, if you like, it has a document going with it to demonstrate its provenance.
Very much so, yeah. And the document is the document itself can sometimes be worth more than the parts itself. Absolutely, yeah.
And the idea that if you were to build a plane from all of these spare parts, would it be cheaper than buying a new plane, I wonder?
It couldn't really be done because of the certification standard at manufacture. So you wouldn't really be able to build a complete Airbus A320 from purely spare parts, unfortunately, but certainly those spare parts, though, do play a very key vital role in maintaining aircraft and keeping them flying. And just back to the point where the aircraft were scattered as well, although the airline had collapsed, the administrators were able to maintain some of Spirit's key staff, and they were also able to assist, obviously, where the aircraft last landed. So, yeah, we were able to map out fairly quickly where the aircraft were across the US.
I presume that you don't have a standing army of pilots ready to do this job. You contract them, as hired guns, if you like, to do this job when it arises, which is seldom enough, thankfully.
It's seldom, yes. So we actually would have a pool of approximately 100 pilots contracted to us on multi-year contracts. And then we actually were able to offer employment to a number of the Spirit pilots who suddenly found themselves unemployed very quickly and very unexpectedly as well, to help with some of the recoveries, yes.
Do you anticipate any other airline failures, not to mention any particular brands that might be in difficulty? But, this one, as I mentioned at the very beginning, is the largest collapse since the Pan Am and Eastern collapse in the early 1990s.
It is. Yes, it is. It's pure fleet size alone is what's made this unique. Unfortunately, there are a number of airline failures almost every year worldwide. There's a lot of airlines worldwide. In terms of anticipating more, I think it's probably inevitable. Whether we'll see failures or mergers within some airlines, it's a very difficult operating market for a number of airlines at the moment, worldwide. Fuel price and constraint is a huge factor, plus regional economies. So, yeah.
Well, Matthew, you know what they say, it's an ill wind that blows nobody good, and every collapse is good news for you, I suppose.
It is. It's not something, though, that we like to see, and it generates a big problem for lessors because they suddenly find themselves with a number of unexpected aircraft returns that now need to transition into the market, and trying to find new homes and place those aircraft is sometimes challenging. So yeah, it's in what's good in one sense is for the collective industry not always good.
And they're just getting over the headache of sorting out the Russian mess after many aircraft ended up stranded in that particular territory. So it's been a busy time for the lessors. But Matthew G, head of operations at Six West Aviation. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.